I chose to do a lesson on finding the perfect dad. And since I've never found one, hoping maybe we can get one rustled up here today. It doesn't matter whether you're dad or if you are a dad, whether you get it all right. Your kids will love you anyway. They have a power to do that even when they don't like it much. My dad was a very good dad. He had his flaws, and he didn't do the dad role the same way many people do. And I think that's pretty awesome. My dad worked at the paper mill in Spring Hill, Louisiana, forever, it seemed like. And in our hometown, they had shift work. Any of you ever work shift work? Don't you hate it? Well, shift work is one of those things that plays a trick on a family, because you'll have them one way one week and another way another week and another way another week, and it gets a little bit messed up over time. So my dad worked there in the paper mill, and he would do the day shift, and sometimes they worked the graveyard shift. That's when you better not say much and make noise when he's home asleep. And in the evening shift, and it was a constant motion with my dad in those days, having him home and not having him home. And it was frustrating. Nita's dad worked at the paper mill and places, you know, and like that. And it was just a town where that's the way it happened. It was hard to plan something with your dad because of that shift work. I don't like shift work. I like go and do what I do and go do what I want to do some other place, not being told when and where and what you can do. My dad was not a regular dad. Now, he had his flaws, which I'll tell you, but he wasn't a regular dad because he was just cut out of a different cloth. And it wasn't uncommon for him to come home and change out of his paper mill clothes that always stunk. I don't know if y'all have ever been in a paper mill. Paper mills stink. And everybody in Spring Hill, most everybody in Spring Hill worked at the paper mill. I worked at the grocery store. I didn't get to stink like they did. My dad was not a regular dad like many who would come home and, you know, a lot of guys would work and they'd come home and they'd sit down and they'd just do nothing the rest of the time until it was time to go to work again. My dad wasn't like that. My dad was very industrious and he was very frugal. He didn't believe a lot in having things fixed. You just didn't do that at our house. He wasn't a dad who would sit on a stool of do nothing. If a vehicle needed attention or repair, in all the years growing up, I never knew him to ever take a vehicle to the shop to get repaired. If he couldn't fix it, it didn't need to be fixed. That's just the way things were. He wore carpenter overalls, not at the paper mill. He'd come home from the paper mill, dump those, and put his carpenter overalls on. And they had pockets everywhere. I mean, you can carry so many tools around there, you can't walk after a little while. He allowed me, and this is the father, this is the perfect dad image. My dad had a lot of flaws. I inherited many of them. He allowed me, and I'm sure I was often in his way, but he allowed me to work right beside him to learn stuff as he did things. He often, just for extra money, would take side jobs. And his preference was to build cabinets. In those days, the cabinets weren't as foo-foo and flowery as they are these days. They were there and they took care of the job that they were there to do. And somebody would call him, and or he'd hit somebody at the paper mill would hit him up, and he would agree to build these cabinets. Well, what he did when it was in the summertime is he would let me go with him. And I got to go with him. He let me work right beside him building these cabinets or fixing doors or whatever the necessity was at the time. And it could be anything just about. And in doing all of that, I was able to learn things that many people never knew how to do. And to this day, I don't carry something to the shop somewhere to get it fixed. It's just not done that way. If we were working on a vehicle, which is the grease side of everything, I had special tools that he helped me appropriate, and I had my own tools. I'm talking about being a young kid. And if he was up under this truck in the garage, I was up under the truck in the garage. I worked beside him and learned things from him. He had some traits that were not good, but don't we all? And my dad was a long way from being perfect. And this lesson is not about my dad, but it's Father's Day, isn't it? Can I talk about my dad? I have a point. Up under a truck or under the cabinets where he couldn't get as easily, he instilled in me to do stuff like that, to learn stuff like that. When our sons came along, I had them go along with me and work side by side, whether we were building something or if we were building fences. When we bought our place, we had to fence a lot of stuff. Well, they had never fenced. I had only fenced some. And we got out there and we built fences together. I didn't send them out to do it. I worked right there with them. They learned how to build a fence. I wonder how many kids you could pick out of 100 today that could build a fence. When I was 10 years old, we added an addition onto our house. My mama decided we needed a carport because somebody up the street got a carport. Back in those days, nobody knew what a carport was. So we got a carport. That meant we had to come up on the ridge of the house and we had to do some extra stuff. So Dad gets up there and he starts doing all this stuff and he's working shift work. But he's shown me how to do stuff. He had to go to work in the middle of the day. I got home from school. Me and a couple of my buddies got up on top of the house and finished shingling that house on that new addition at 10 years old. You don't get that anymore. But that was modeled to me. He showed me how to do things. This is still not what this lesson's about. But this is the kind of stuff that kept people together in those days. This is the kind of stuff that kept families from splintering off and running all over the country. Nowadays, if a child comes into the age where they can get a vehicle, they get their own vehicle. And it may even be new. When we were growing up, we got anything that would roll. If you had to pull it or push it. If something broke, you fixed it yourself. You weren't dependent on a garage somewhere. You weren't dependent on 100 other people. You just dealt with life. We are in a time right now in this country where this country has gone completely stupid. Nobody knows whether they're boys or girls. That is not a hard test. Parents have to get somebody to do everything for them, so their kids are dumb and don't know how to do anything. That ought not be that way. When we moved to where we live now, up in Myra, me and Anita and Kevin and Jeff and some friends pitched in and we built a two-story house. Never had a contractor on the property at that time. I showed those boys how to cut rafters because my daddy showed me how to cut rafters. Now, this is nothing about God doing wonderful things, but I'm telling you, if you think about it, it is. We built that house to its completion, and it was a wonderful house. Sadly, we had a terrible house fire that many of you remember, and the house we now have was built by a contractor because we worked on that thing for years. Nita would go to work, bring her check back, I'd go get material, and here me and the boys would go. We finally got the house done, down to making our very own trim. We didn't buy it, we made it. In today's world, in my judgment, we're raising people who know very little about things. They don't know how things work. They don't know how to repair anything. They are dependent on somebody else all the time. A parent should train their children to be able to do something besides read comic books and run the streets. That's what's wrong with the world. You got so much hatred and so much bottled up stuff in people around this country, they take it out on anybody. They'll kill you and don't even know who you are or why you're there. That's because you didn't have fathers that would stand up and say, son, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. Let me help you do this. You come help me do this. But Dad, I'm 7 years old. That's fine. You're old enough. And you can do seven-year-old stuff. How many of you guys in here live that? I lived that. By the time I grew up into an adult, I could weld. I could build. I could design. I could do anything. If I wanted it, I didn't go buy it. I created it. Now, I had to buy the materials. Do you know how much less a house would cost if you didn't have labor in it? We need to be raising people who are learning how to do something. We need parents to quit giving kids a car and a credit card so they can run all over the country. I'm adamant about that. I need to go where I need to go, and you need to go where you need to go. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't have to be gone all the time, do you? I've got 42 and a half acres that gives me plenty of stuff to do. You want to come mow my yard one day? You better decide to spend the night. That's just the way it is. If we were to look for the perfect dad, where would we find him? Is he in your house? Would you find him among the neighbors? Would he be someone somewhere in the family who touched your life and made it better as you grew toward maturity? Working to be a perfect dad, that's a tall order for anybody. We all sometimes fail miserably. How many of you ever tried to do something and failed? It's okay to fail. It's not the end of the world. And most of the time, when you fail, especially at building something, you can turn around and turn that into something better if you just don't give up. If we were to look somewhere other than the houses in which we live, what would we see? What would be the vision? Matthew 5, verse 48 says, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Do you realize that God just told us to look at me and do what I did? That's what a kid does if he's trained to do something besides play video games. I have a cell phone, and I like having it, but it is the most ungodly thing that's ever been in this world. It has ruined more people and will, and it'll keep doing it. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. To become a perfect dad means that his children are never far from his thoughts. I think about my boys every day. I can't do the stuff I used to do, and I've told you that, with some of the heat and stuff. And my son that lives down here in Shreveport came all the way up and mowed my grass. And he called his mama and said, "I'm going to come and mow the grass because I don't want Dad in that heat." And what you see running up and down the street, blowing money and blowing dope and all of that kind of stuff, they don't have that. They don't have that to look back on. That's what's wrong with this world. To become a dad is a big job. Psalm 139, 1-5 says, "O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know me when I sit down and then when I rise. You perceive my thoughts afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in behind and before, and you've laid your hand on me." How do you feel? Do you feel that you got the hand of God on you? Do you feel that? Do you know God touches you? And do you know that the touch that we get from God is what we use to touch other people with? Our Father thinks deeply of His children and models that same behavior before His children. The Bible, if you didn't read it as if it was some kind of antique book, and you saw the story, you would see a love story in that book where God loves His people. I will never close my eyes, good or bad, in my life and think differently of God. He's on my side. Always had been, always will be. All through the Scripture, there are words from God. Listen to the real Father speak, not me. Our Father thinks deeply, models it before His children. And all through the Scripture, there's words from God that tell the truth of His love, His provision, His care. It's important that we constantly consider our children and our grandchildren the very same way God considers those of us who have grown up to become His followers. This is not about going to church. You couldn't go to church if you wanted to. It's impossible for you to go to church. Do you know that? Why? You are the church. God, our Father, communicated His thoughts to us in the Scriptures, and we as fathers were given the greatest example to share that. The second thing is this. His love for us is unconditional, and that's unconditional, good or bad. God is the same today as He was yesterday. And if it's 100,000 years from now, He'll be the same. He does not change. Psalm 103, verses 11-14, says, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love of those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we were dust. Our Father loves us more than we can love ourselves. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 says this, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save." Now that's what a father does. He will take delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now you're going to think I'm crazy, but we're going to sing a song in a minute. All right? Our Father loves to hear singing. He loves to hear us. He loves to listen to us. Our Father is proud of us, even in our weakness, because we're His. He will take great delight in you. Listen to this verse. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice with you over singing. Do you know that God is a singing God? That's pretty cool. If you were to go into Scripture and look up the word sing or singing, and write down every text in that, you're going to be writing a while. God is a singer. You want to sing? You want to sing a silly song? Do you know the power of a song, silly or not? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, well, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All around the neighborhood, well, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, all around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Whoa, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Whoa, I'm not letting Satan out, I'm going to let it shine. Let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. How many kids have learned that song? Do you realize, according to God and His instructions about singing, is that's projected in the hearts of His children, and God's songs are in Him. That's why we have the Psalms. The Psalms were not written down to be read. They were written down to be sung. And if you check how many of them there are a lot of them in the Scripture, which tells me that God is on a powerful binge about singing good truths. Our Father, number three, instructs us in His ways. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up into training and instruction of the Lord." Exasperate is the idea of stirring up anger or irritating. Oh boy, my mama could do that. She could irritate somebody quick. I irritated her quite a lot, though, so we kind of had a match. We need to not exasperate our children. That means basically having unclear expectations. I wouldn't expect one of my boys in the early days to go do something they didn't know how to do. I need y'all to go out there and build this fence. If I hadn't taught them how to build a fence, what would they do? They know they need to do something. They don't know what to do. So they're exasperated. We often make demands beyond their ability. Because you can do something, and because somebody's seen you do it two or three times, don't mean you know how to do it, right? So our kids get really messed up. They don't know what to do. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Now that happens by continual fault found. You're just doing nothing. You ever been called dumb? Stupid? I have. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not dumb, and I'm not stupid. And those kids aren't either. The stupidity is in the parents that didn't show them how to live. Train them up, the text says, in the instruction of the Lord. Proverbs 25, verse 28. "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control." 22:15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it away." Anybody ever get a chance to make sure you knew that happened? Psalm 144, 1 and 2. "Praise be to the rock, my Lord. My rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He's my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me." Here's one thing that we really need to encourage in people. There's things that make you want to throw up going on in our country today. Somebody don't know whether they're a boy or a girl. You realize all of that's going on? That is not a hard test to figure out which one's which. Our country is leaning in a direction that's floating away from God. And the gap is getting bigger every day. And it's being promoted by those in power and has been over the years. People don't know what normal is. And you and I just can't fix all of that. That needs to happen at home. Train them in the instruction of the Lord and have something specific. Listen to this. Let me show you about God-given instruction. When God created the world, He did all of that first. And then later, after all of that, He created the humans. Everything was wonderful before the humans got here. God said, after creating the humans, our Father God turned around and gave the humans the power in the world. That's pretty big. Yes or no? That's huge. Listen, here's your text, 1:26 and 27 of Genesis 1. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, livestock, wild animals, over all of the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In His image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God created all of that and gave it to the human family to deal with. That is a big chore. So what happens here? I need to learn to know what true is. We need to learn it over again. It's not your idea or my idea. I can't come up before God, have a bright idea, and say, I got a better idea than you had, Lord. I don't want to smoke that hard. I'm going to tell you, I might be smoking. He might hit me. Training the instruction of the Lord with specific goals, whatever's true. That's the ability to trust God. The doctrine of God is the truth about God, the real truth about Him. Understanding is the ability to relate the principles of Scripture to situations of life. Do you know that the reason you have a Bible is so you have that Scripture to point you in directions? If we don't use those things, that we're creating something outside of God's realm. Discernment is the ability to distinguish good for bad, or truth from evil, for error, and evil people from good people. God wants us to know who He is and what we're here to do. And if we want to be a good dad, be a right dad, we need to be a dad that does that kind of stuff. Now, none of us are perfect. We mess up. Any of you in here ever mess up? Well, God's on our side, and He will guide us with His hand. If you want to be a good dad, do the best you can, and hang out with the one who knows it all, and we'll be in good shape. The church said,